Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on Earth!
And welcome back to the greatest show on Earth that is Talking Terror. As always, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, welcoming you back to this episode of the show, at long last, where tonight we're going to be talking about the Ghoul Geek Keith's film pick of the week from just this year, Stop Motion, directed by Robert Morgan. But as always, I'm joined by that bald and beautiful, the Ghoul Geek Keith.
Bald? I am certainly not bald, sir, but
bald,
I am pimpy.
Bald? Not bald.
Bold? Bold, yes. But, yeah, listen to this. We are actually on the air. We're here this week. Nobody's sick. Nobody's tired. Blog Talk is working. The fucking universe is aligned once again. Here we are, everybody. Hello and welcome to Talking Terror.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I know it's been a little weird. We took a couple weeks off due to everything that could possibly happen, from being tired to being sick to Blog Talk just being fucked up. And, of course, the team just dropped out, so classic BTR. But we are back, and we're so glad to be back, and he is back. But, yes, we are so happy to have you here talking about Stop Motion a little later on the show. We got horror news. We got The Boys. We have Deadpool and Wolverine. We have the White Six, maybe. Who knows? It's going to be a great show, guys, so buckle up. And, Dean, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, so what is the name of our show again? What are we doing here?
It's Chat Talk with BTR.
Yeah, that's right. It's just it's been so long. I forgot what we do here.
So wait, this isn't the Taylor Swift podcast.
It's the Eras Tour.
If either of you are interested in starting one of those with me, I'd be open to the discussion.
I
won't, because I'll be over here starting the Sabrina Carpenter podcast, because she is way better than Taylor Swift.
She just played shows in Munich to sold out 74,000 person stadium, but there's a big hill.
Yeah, my sister went and saw her in Portugal.
Yeah, you had told me that was going to be happening, but in Munich apparently there's this big hill that wraps outside the stadium, like the back half, and there were like 30,000 to 40,000 people outside of the stadium singing along to the concert. Also, it was pretty exciting to see footage from that.
That's sad. But anyway, once we start that Taylor Swift versus Sabrina Carpenter podcast, we'll find out who's the better one. I am Sabrina Carpenter camp. I want my espresso. I want to please her.
Dude, I would lick Sabrina Carpenter from her fucking forehead down the front of her body right up to her asshole.
All the fucking way, dude. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm not even a fan of blonde,
no doubt.
But I will say that.
Yep, me neither.
I'm not a fan of blonde, but I heard espresso, and I was like, you know what? This chick gets it. I'm like, move over, Taylor. It's the era of fucking Sabrina. People can't even afford tickets to go see her show.
Well, we saw her live one time, man, when we fucking...
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were at fucking what's-his-face of all people. You know, funny enough, Jake Paul, during his... during his post-Disney career, but while that fucking stupid song of his was all popular, whatever, my left hand, bro, or fucking it's all the way, bro, or how I go,
shit.
Bro.
Yeah.
But she was there in the tour along with all these other fucking YouTube sensations, and you know she was on that Girl Meets World show at the time. but she was just kicking off her singing career. And, you know, as Jake Paul was wrapping it up, there was this thunderstorm rolling in. And, I mean, it was like one of those, like, coming over the central fucking PA area thunderstorms in which everybody in that stadium, this is over at Hershey Park, was like, yeah, we're out of here. The fucking sky went from, like, bright to, like, pitch fucking dark, the kind of shit you're waiting to see a tornado pop out of and fucking take you up to Oz. Mm-hmm. But as we're making our way out the fucking stadium, you know, this little thing in fucking black thigh-high fucking boots and, like, wearing basically a garter walked onto the stage, and not just me, but the ghoul girl, when I say the brakes got fucking hit, and her head snapped back, and we both did like a lean back, turned our head to look at that shit, looked at each other, and we were like, whoa, holy shit. Like, it was a shame that fucking storm was rolling in, because I know they took her off stage, and everybody got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, crazy. You know, it's crazy. I'm definitely a fan. I first heard Espresso, and I was like, that sounds like Taylor Swift. I hope it's on Taylor Swift. Please don't listen to Taylor Swift. And I was like, oh, Sabrina Carpenter, she's hot. Yes, I can like this song. But I fucking hate Taylor Swift. Sorry, Dean. I know you love her. I don't like her. She needs to, like, retire. Go to a villa in Italy or something. But, yeah, no, I'm not a fan. I'm not part of the Tay-Tay Nation.
Well, you're missing out.
I'm not missing out. I'm not. Believe me. No, I've been saying it for years. Like, just go away. But she's not, because she sells out and she has albums about boyfriends and shaking things off. But anyway, we are not a Taylor Swift or a Sabrina Carpenter podcast. We are talking terror. So first, before Dean, we get into horror news, something that all three of us can agree on, The Fucking Boys, Season 4, holy shit, yes.
Yeah, I feel... How did it come and go so quickly?
Right? So fast.
You know, and maybe it's because in previous seasons, I have waited till it was all already aired and then watched, but this season I did not. This season I kind of watched, you know, there was a bit of a part of in the middle of the season where I had two episodes stacked up to watch. But for the most part, you know, I got to watch them each week. And yeah, man, lots of balls in the air, both literally and metaphorically speaking, and set in motion for what should be a fucking wild final season.
Yeah, cool. What'd you think about season four, man?
Oh, no, I agree completely, man. It was a good time. It was a good ride. It stayed true to the fucking boys. I know we got one more season to go. I think it's everything that we saw is leading up to something that'll be a lot of fun and you know, dark, disgusting, and disturbing, as the boys should be. I feel like this season hit some emotional fucking low blows that really fucking, like, again, things that I never expect to say when I talk about the boys, but, like, you know, pulling tears out of my fucking my eyes, you know, fucking it did happen this season. Simon Pegg, we love you. You were fantastic.
This sequence when he was all hopped up on the fucking V, man, that whole sequence was crazy.
That whole fucking episode was crazy. You know, it's one of those. You're laughing one fucking second, and then the next thing you know, you're a big fucking... Like I said, I was literally sobbing by the end of it, you know? Maybe not Friday Night Lights level shit, but it was close, man. You know, look, I've got, you know, my own shit with mortality and my children recently, and it's just been a fucking the whole fucking to-do. So that shit just, it hit hard, man. But I'll tell you what made the season feel the way it did. I really wish, and I hope they don't do it next time. Don't drop three episodes to start the shit off. You know, they
always
three
do that.
Episodes, but you know what? It kills it. It kills because you go through three episodes, and then you only have like 4 weeks, 5 weeks of episodes, and then you're done. You know, like it's, I get everybody likes to fucking binge watch everything now, but you know, I got to say, some of these episodes on like the Disney Channel show, the Disney Plus series and stuff, I'm really digging going back to a week to week, maybe give us two episodes to really get the fucking appetite going, you know? But like,
right.
I'm thinking the week-to-week thing again, man. Like, between fucking House of the Dragon on HBO, we had Interview with the Vampire on fucking AMC+. Like, we had so many shows rolling at one period that it was like, it was great. It gave us something to look forward to every single week.
I hear what you're saying on that, and I might agree with you when it comes to The Boys, if that is, if this was not how they have released their seasons every time, you know, like this wasn't like a new strategy. This, they've always done the three episodes for the new seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the wrong move. I'm with the Ghoul. Like, just drop one. Like, I like the week to week shit, you know, and I kind of similar to what you did, Dean, I kind of did the same thing where I kind of binged it. And then I got to that one episode, and they're like, yeah, I have to wait a week. And I was like, fuck, man, I want it now. I don't want
right.
to leave the world. I don't want to leave this world. I'm so happy. I'm so, like, this whole
yeah.
series, The Boys, I have never been disappointed by any of the seasons. Like, every fucking
no,
episode
fucking
is better than last.
You know? And I feel
yeah,
that
I,
because
yeah.
it. I think part of that, and sometimes, like, when it ends, I'm like, god damn it. But I feel that they're telling so much story with just eight episodes in the season. You know, it's not like a 12-episode season or a 22-episode season. Like, they're short seasons. And granted, each episode is like an hour, but, like, it's a short episode season. And we've had four.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had 32 episodes so far, and it will be wrapping up with 40. But I agree with you, man. Like, I feel like I remember when we were having the same conversation at the end of season three going, holy shit, I can't wait for what comes next with season four. Now, at the time of season, the conclusion of season three, we did not yet know that season five was going to be the final season, but we know that
right.
now. So, you know, I have no idea when they're going to have season five ready for us, but I really can't fucking wait. Like,
2026?
Right.
I think 2026, they said, yeah.
Right, right. I mean,
too long.
We've talked about it plenty. Like, I fucking love this show, and as we have established
yeah.
numerous times over the years, and this is different, you know, than the standard, like, the Marvel or the DC superhero stuff, like, I'm not a huge, you know, my cinematic interests do not weigh heavy in the superhero department. Sure, there's been the
right.
outlier here and there that I really love and enjoy, and this of course is a different thing. But I love this. You know, I love The Boys, and I remember when you guys told me to watch it. The first two seasons
mm-hmm.
were already out when
yeah.
I started watching The Boys. The third season hadn't come yet, and I think from 1 week of Talking Terror to the next week, I think by the time we came back for the next episode, I had watched all of both the two seasons. Either that or it was 2 weeks later. But, I mean, I flew through those first two fucking seasons. What a show.
Yeah, you went hard. Like, I remember you just, like, you're like, I don't know about this show. Maybe I'll give it a shot. And then you're like, I'm all in. Like, I watched.
No, I hadn't
episodes.
Even really heard of it. You guys kind of explained it to me. I don't
yeah.
remember. I might have had a news item maybe about the third season or something. You know, like, I didn't really, it's not that I didn't know about it. I just didn't know what it was. And then you guys explained it to me. I'm like, all right, that sounds pretty cool. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, and then you were all in after that. And with this season,
all
you
in.
Know, not giving any spoilers, obviously, in case you guys at home haven't watched it yet. But, like, you know, like, The Ghoul, it said, Simon Pegg, like, amazing, you know, what a send-off. I never thought I would feel so bad for an octopus like I did this season with The Deep,
oh
where I almost had tears.
Oh, my fucking God. That was fucked up.
I was literally, like, wiping tears away at that scene. And then having the greatest use of Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana to wrap up the season. Like, that's my favorite Nirvana song, and for them to wrap it up with that, I was like, I fucking love The Boys. Like, this is my fucking show. Don't go, Boys. Don't go. I know it's the last season in 2026, but, man, to have that song be the wrap-up when everything just fucking goes down. And when they tie it in with Gen V, I was like, yeah, they're smart. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they got spinoffs mm-hmm. planned. And, you know, like, again, I think I think they're doing the right thing, you know, cutting it at five and then, you know, whatever, or six or whatever it is. And then they're gonna have these spinoffs. And I think it's going to make the spinoffs feel more fresh than, like, let's say, how you have it with The Walking Dead, where, you know, I don't know what. They didn't start Fear the Walking Dead until after season seven, I think, of The Walking Dead. Maybe even season eight, something like that.
It was seven, I think, yeah.
You know, so by that point, you were already starting to get other, like, you know, a lot of audience members were already starting to feel that wear.
That fatigue, yeah.
As far as the fatigue, as far as The Walking Dead goes, you know, and they really couldn't have cared less, let alone throwing up some fucking, you know, some kind of sub-series that has a bunch of, you know, fucking, you know, not to sound like a certain portion of a specific side of things, but something that had a very woke style fucking, you know, character set and all of that going on. You know, it felt more blatant with Fear the Walking Dead. You know, all the characters that you saw in the original Walking Dead all kind of like felt like they progressed naturally. They all felt like they were there for, you know, for natural purposes, so to say. The cast, for me personally, it just felt like the cast of Fear the Walking Dead was, like, selected because we need to hit this demographic. We need to hit that demographic. We don't have this on the regular show. We want to put that in there. So I think that, too, was kind of a turnoff for a lot of the audience, as well as the fatigue factor. So I think cutting this earlier and maybe saying, hey, you know, maybe they're not so much a fucking sideshows as they're going to be, like, actual, like, series, you know, like the real deal. Not a spinoff, but an actual show.
It's the way to do it. You know, they talked about recently Vought Rising. That's going to bring back Soldier Boy and Stormfront. I can't wait for that.
Twitter. Yo, their ex, Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It is fantastic. Whoever runs that shit, they're just so great. The updates are fantastic. It makes you really feel like they fucking exist.
It does. And I love the fact that they're making fun of the MCU. You know, because recently they had Comic-Con in San Diego where they're announcing all the new MCU movies, and it's like, I feel like I'm in a Boys episode right now. But they're like, Avengers, Doomsday, 2025. Avengers, Secret Wars, 2026. Guess what? RDJ, Doctor Doom. Like, I feel like I'm in a Boys episode right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of that stuff was announced fucking, you know, like 2 years ago when the whole Endgame thing wrapped up and everything, and they needed to figure out what the next phase was going to be, and then that turned into the multiverse phase. But now, with that taking a shit because of fucking, you know, actors being assholes and all kinds of other fun, wonderful fucking things on Disney's end, as well as the, you know, so don't get me wrong, I get it, you know, fucking what's his face, you know, fucked his shit up. I can't remember his name right now, but the guy that was playing Kang. But at the same time, too, Disney ain't stupid. They know the movies weren't performing well. Yes, Jonathan Majors. You know, the movies were not performing well. The multiverse was not unfurling very well at all. Nothing felt cohesive. Nothing seemed to be making sense. So, you know, like, at least everything from, like, even the very first phase, everything felt like by the time you hit Avengers, you knew what direction you were going in, you know? By the time you got at the end of the first Captain America movie, you were like, oh, shit, that's an Infinity Gem, you know? Like, or Cosmic Cube, like, oh, okay, this is all fucking interesting shit. So you knew where you were going. This time it did not feel that way. It felt disjointed. The movies were performing poorly. You know, Deadpool this week fucking was a shot that fucking they needed very badly. You know, I went and saw it last Thursday. You know,
saw it on Saturday.
I don't want to throw spoilers out there, but
no,
you know, if you watch any of the Deadpool films, this is one to go see. Even if you haven't seen any Marvel shit, even if you don't really know who fucking Wolverine is, which I don't even see how that could be possible. Like, even somebody like Dave, because of me, knows who the fucking Wolverine is. Like, that is exactly what they put together for this film, and it was fucking amazing.
Yes, 100%. And I know before Deadpool and Wolverine, they had the trailer for Captain America Brave New World, and I was fucking bored. I was like, oh, all right. like, this is – okay, sure, why not? Like, you know, And I think, like you just said about fatigue, I think that's what the MCU is kind of right now, is fatigue. We're just like, all right, we've had enough. Like, we need a break, you know, but they're going to keep pumping them out because they make money. But Deadpool Wolverine was like a breath of fresh air. It's like, we're having fun, guys. Like, this is great. Like,
you know,
we're making
I
fun
think,
shit, you know, we're having a great time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got some friends who are all like, oh, you know, this is going to be the thing that gets Marvel back on track. This is going to be this. This is going to be that. And, you know, the only thing I said about this movie is it just needs to be a good Deadpool movie. That's all it had to be. It had to be just as good, if not better, than the first two films. So, you know, like, I still think, yeah, I would say as far as, like, the three Deadpool movies go, you know, because of the shock and humor of that first film, like, I don't know, it's almost like that, it's like it is with everything. If that film doesn't happen, you never see the next two. You know what I mean? So that will always, for me, kind of be like the top Deadpool film, but this one slides into second. You know, and as much as I love this, they're also such three very different movies that it kind of like just makes it a lot of fun. You know, the cameos they got in there were great. If you're a Marvel, you know, anything, you'll totally get everything with it. And as far as Brave New World goes, you know, I'm going to go into that with the same fucking open mind that I try to go into all of these Marvel movies with. You know, Winter Soldier, for all intents and purposes, should never have been as good as it was. I know that was the Russos. So it's a lot different than whoever's making this, but the Russos are coming back for stuff. They're doing the Doomsday and the Secret Wars movie. I think that, you know, I'm hoping that just like always, the Captain America movie does not let me down. You know, like Cap has always been a solid franchise, and it wasn't like it was Chris Evans that was making me fucking make that movie. You know what I mean? It's how it was written, how it was a spy film more than it was anything else. So I think if this stays true to that form, that pattern, then I'm going to be good with this movie.
Flame on, that's all I have to say. But anyway.
They totally got me with that, man. I was fucking retarded.
Right? It was fucking, I fucking wanted to cheer during that sequence. But anyway, Dean, you are back with us. We have horror news to talk about. It's been a couple weeks. So what are we talking about before we talk about stop motion?
Oh, yeah. What's the name of the movie we're covering? No, I'm kidding.
stop motion.
As we look through this leap around. As we look through, you know, as I look through weeks and weeks of notes, as we go here, just it's possible that some of this information is might be dated, but some of it might still be current. So let's just keep that in mind. But the first thing that I wanted to say, and this is still current, is that a couple of years ago. From the Vestron video collector series, there was a special edition Blu-ray series for you know, Return of the Living Dead series, and the first cut of Return of the Living Dead 3 apparently.
Hey man, I already dropped this news.
Sorry.
I thought
about
you doing it.
You talking about the footage?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe.
So anyway, there was apparently 8 minutes of unearthed footage that were found on a VHS tape that has never been seen before that is being, you know, recut into the film that's going to debut at the Popcorn Fright Fest on August 10th at 10 p.m., and there's also a release being planned, another release being planned for this movie with this new footage, but there's no details on that release at this time.
Nice. So your update does give us the premiere at the festival. That was not in play when I recorded this.
Yes.
And the epic popcorn news that Google gave us.
Yes. The Popcorn Fright Fest, which is taking place at
Popcorn Fright.
Fright.
Popcorn
type.
Yeah.
I was like, it's
popcorn
type. Damn, the pop.
Yeah, in Miami. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what's going on. That's what's going on there with Return of the Living Dead Part 3, for those of you fans out there. Moving right along, the 1999 TV movie version of The Stand is getting a Steelbook release to celebrate its 30th anniversary. It's going to be released on September 24th exclusively at Walmart. You will have to be a Walmart shopper in order to acquire The Stand Steelbook release.
Yeah, Walmart's got a really good fucking deal right now with Bloody Disgusting. So if you guys out there are fans of like horror collectibles like I am, go to your fucking Walmart, guys. Bloody Disgusting has a great collection of horror collectibles. They are really killing it in the horror game right now. Like, who would have thought that Walmart would be the one to go to? But, yeah, they have NECA toys, plushes, they have stands, they have pictures. So, yeah, it's a great thing, man. Especially since I'm a big collector.
Indeed.
Especially because they're all kind of trying to get away from physical media now. Like Walmart, Target, all these other stores are trying to get rid of physical media. But Walmart's kind of staying in the game. They're not getting rid of it. But
talking to
a sad state of affairs.
Not brought to you by Walmart.
Not brought to you.
But at the same time, it's like a sad state when you start to see these stores saying they're getting rid of physical media. Like Best Buy was the first one to announce it. Target said they were going to announce that they're getting rid of it. It's like, do you understand how important physical media is? Like, you can't keep stuff digitally. Like, it goes away after a while. Physical media is forever. Like, I'm always going to die on that hill that we need to keep physical media as long as we can. Blu-rays, 4K, DVDs, VHS. Like, that's never going away. But at the same time, if you get it digitally, yeah, they could delete it at any time. Sucks.
Speaking of those kinds of things, I know that I have said this was happening at some point, but I finally have some information on the Hitcher 4K UHD restoration set, which is finally going to be released in September September 30th from Second Sight Films. There are going to be three different editions that are now available for pre-order. There is the limited edition box set, which will set you back $55.25. That's the 4K and Blu-ray. It comes with a special slipcase, a 200-page hardcover book, an original screenplay book, as well as a series of collector's cards. Then there's going to be the standard 4K release, $27.63, and then the standard Blu-ray for $19.89. And King, as you have talked about just now, the importance of keeping physical media alive, and as we know that with the exception of vinyl records, I try to stay away from physical and books, try to stay away from physical media. I did pre-order the special edition of the Hitcher 4K UHD limited box set.
Nice.
I had to do it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I had to do
I
it.
Shared that with you. Yeah.
You know, the Hitcher was one of the handful of entry level films that pulled me into the genre in the '80s when I was just a young boy, that I caught late night and was fascinated by it, you know, so I just felt compelled to make the pre-order when I saw this.
We covered it on the show. It's a great fucking movie.
I said the power of Christ.
The power of the
Hitcher
compels you.
Yes.
And I know that there is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4K coming out this year, too, to celebrate the 50th anniversary, that's actually going to come with the game that they released. I was like, wow, that's something. You know, they're actually going to include the game. I mean, it's a beautiful fucking, 4K restoration and copy. Although, again, I shouldn't say beautiful 4K because I don't like 4K when it comes to Texas Chainsaw because that movie needs to be like VHS quality when you watch it. But I do have the Blu-ray, I have the DVD, I have the VHS. So I might have to add the 4K, even though I can't even play the fucking game. But I want to get that 4K for the 50th anniversary. Because you guys know how much Texas Chainsaw Massacre means to me. But
yeah, of course. You know, we'll see what kind of gets offered up there. You know, I still, you know, when I sold all of my stuff, you know, I did hang on to some things. And, you know, here and there have added small things. I don't think I have any tangible, you know, copies of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I also haven't played the game. You know, I've been hoping that one of these months it will become the, like the PlayStation Plus games of the month that you can download for free. But I haven't played the game yet. But I'll, you know, see what the offerings are when the Texas Chainsaw Massacre special edition comes around. But I don't actually have any kind of tangible copy of that one.
Yeah, it's on Amazon right now for $100. But the set looks fucking amazing, you know, as it is. I wished years ago that I had gotten the Blu-ray when it came in the Black Maria, the truck, from the end of the movie. I never got that one, but I do have a couple copies of it on my shelf right now, just because, you know, that's the type of guy I am. You know, I have a couple of DVDs, I have a couple of Blu-rays, I have a VHS, but yeah, like it's a great set. I know Fright Rags is going to be releasing a clothing set next month to celebrate the 50th anniversary. I'm like, guys, I'm getting married in October. I cannot be spending this kind of money. Like, I have to save. I'm not putting this in my registry.
Make a registry. Put it in the registry, man.
I know. That's what Audrey said. She's like, put it on the registry. I was like, I cannot do that. I was like, that's fucked up. You know, vacuum cleaner, pans, stuff like that for the house. And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 4K edition, for $100. And I can't do that. Nope. It's like,
sure you can.
No. I know I can, but I was like, no, that's fucked up. Can't do that. I was like, I'm not that wild. I was like, I'll buy a t-shirt next month for Fright Rags, but no. You know, maybe it'll go down in price after it's been out for a while. Get it on eBay or something. You know, it's wild. Like, did you guys have registries when you guys got married?
Yes.
I mean, I know I, that, you know.
I did not.
Dean and no, see, yeah. So you did,
well,
Dean.
Well, I didn't end up having, like, an actual wedding, though, ultimately. Like, mine ended up being in the old fucking courthouse.
Oh, just like a civil service, like, kind of ceremony? Whatever
yeah.
they call that, civil ceremony? Okay. But
indeed.
You did, Dean?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, like, because Audrey was asking me, she's like, what do you want to put on this? And I was like, I don't know.
Well, see, the thing is, and you know, what a lot of people do in when you get engaged and get married and like you're younger, like when we got engaged, we were on the verge of like moving, like we hadn't moved into mm-hmm. our place together yet. So like a lot of the shit that went on our registry for our engagement was like shit to like put in our first place together, like fucking plates and silverware
right,
and glasses
right.
and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Audrey put on ours, like pots, pans, vacuum cleaner, stuff like that for the apartment. We don't want to be an eat, pray, love type of family, so we want to have an eat, shit, die neon sign in our apartment. So we added that to the list. Just like fun shit, you know, but at the same time, like, I don't know. It's like, what do you want to put on the list, Andy? I was like, I don't know. Just money. You know, it's weird. Like, I'm not used to this, so, you know, it's kind of a new experience. But it should be fun either way, you know. And I'm glad, Ghoul, that you liked the invitation. Like to see that on the Talking Terror page.
Oh, fucking awesome, man. It was so cool. You know, so we saw it come in, and then we waited till we were together so that we can open it. And, you know, the wax stamp, it was just so classy. It was very cool, man. Neat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Dean, you might have one coming your way, too. Stay tuned.
All righty, then.
But, yeah, either way, we were having fun doing it. wanted to make it as fun as possible, including some Bray Wyatt shit in there and just having fun. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. They had fun. Audrey and her son Dexter making the imitations and putting the wax seals and everything. They worked hard on those, so I'm glad everybody liked them. Even my boss, who got one, he was like, "That shit was awesome, bro." I was like, "Thank you." It's very cool. But anyway, Dean, back to horror news. What else are we talking about?
Let's see. So Beetlejuice 2 has officially been given the PG-13 rating for violent content, macabre and bloody images, and more. Of course, that's coming on September 6th, bringing back Winona Ryder and Catherine O'Hara and Michael Keaton and newcomers Jenna Ortega, the delightful Monica Bellucci, and Willem Dafoe.
Mm-hmm.
And addition to that,
Bellucci,
while
so hot.
I know, dude.
Christ.
I know.
You're so fucking hot.
Get that.
And fucking The Matrix, bro. Jesus Christ.
I know that, tying some other news together to this story, Winona Ryder had said when she signed on. when she signed on to do Stranger Things, she mm-hmm. had it in her contract from the very beginning that they would agree to work around a filming schedule if Beetlejuice 2 ever was going to end up happening. Because remember, way back when Stranger Things first hit, Beetlejuice 2, I'm sure someone had an idea and everything, but it wasn't in production.
Yeah.
So, and addition to, Stranger Things 5 and related, tying it together, is still in production. Maya Hawke says that there's going to be 8 episodes, and she says that each episode is going to be like a movie, that all 8 episodes are going to be very long, but still in production, no release date there. But Netflix has given the green light to the Duffer Brothers to executive produce a horror series for Netflix called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. It was created by Kelly Z. Bastone. And apparently it is an atmospheric horror series set at a wedding that is going to be following the bride and groom in the week leading up to the nuptials. And, of course, this is announced recently. There's no release date or casting or any information like that. But the Netflix or the Duffer Brothers and Netflix staying in business together.
Well, I hope something weird happens. That just sounds like a fucking TLC documentary. We're following this couple as they go up to the wedding. It's like, all right, well, are there demons? Ghosts?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, they've grasped on and held on to, specific successful fucking, franchises, I guess you could call them, if you want, through directors. We see it with Mike Flanagan. So it would make sense that they would do something mm-hmm. similar with the Duffer Brothers. The Stranger Things has been fucking huge. Whether or not that comes back with all that fanfare, and is the nation going to be gripped by fucking Stranger Things yet again, or is it going to just simply end on a very silent note? We'll find out. I don't know if you guys, if any of you, well, I guess you don't watch it anyway, King, but Dean, did you watch the first 5 of Cobra Kai?
Fucking of course I did. Are you kidding me?
He's talking to the right guy. Of course he did.
Of course you did. Now you got to wait till fucking god dang November.
November, but it'll be here before we know it, I hope.
I hope so, man. Definitely an interesting season. I was a little bit worried at the start. It seemed like it was kind of going like a real weird, corny fucking way, but then it got dark real quick.
Yeah. I find that if you, and again, I haven't, I might, not after the second 5, but between the second 5 and the final 5, I'm considering going back and doing like a rewatch. And I find that because just to comment on what you just said, Ghoul, I find that sometimes when I think back, especially at the start of the seasons, and I feel like I maybe even remember this specifically from the second, maybe the third season, that like from that first episode or so, like I find myself being like, I don't know what I'm thinking here, but then very quickly, like something happens and it's all the way back in, like immediately.
Yep, that's exactly how we were with it. You know, like we were watching like the first, I think it was like the first, maybe even like the second episode, and we were like, "Wow, this is like it felt like they were just going in a real corny direction with them." I was like, "Wow, do you think maybe like they added a little bit too much humor this season?" And then no, then that little flip, like one little moment in the show just automatically pulls you right back into that, oh yeah, there is some drama
right.
to
You're
be
like,
had
all right,
here,
that's right.
Know?
I'm right back in this world, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I have to go back in with the last season. I got fucking bored last season. I was like, all right, we're doing this, all right. It just seems like we're just kind of repeating what we did last season.
But just the thing. Whenever those moments happen, King, like then, like in the next episode or in the next couple of minutes, something happens when you're like, oh shit, and sucked right fucking back in.
Right. And that's what the monkey was telling me. He's like, dude, you got to give it another chance. He's like, it picks up. Ooh. And I was like, I know, I will. Yeah. Remember former host Mad Monkey? Rest in peace. He's not dead, but still, rest in peace.
Yeah. Fucking Facebook got shut down and everything.
He's dead.
Man.
He's dead. He's dead on Facebook.
He's back up. Did he not send you a request? He's back up.
Oh, maybe I did.
Yeah, he's back. He's back, baby. He is Liam Giddings on Facebook now. So, yes, he is back.
Yes, indeed. He looks like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Ooh, saucy boy. Yeah, but he is back.
Which is funny because that's actually the franchise. We've been going to bed to, like, franchises lately, you know, making our way through all of them. And we are currently on the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice. But, yeah, like with Cobra Kai, I want to kind of go back in and pick up where I left off with the last season and then continue with this one. But like I said about The Boys has never let me down. Like, every fucking episode, bang, bang, bang. Like, I just can't wait. Cobra Kai kind of was like, yeah, we're kind of doing like what we did last season. So have fun, I guess. And I'm like, ah, no, you're losing me, guys. You're losing me. But you know, you and Dean and Monkey and everybody telling me, no, give it another chance. It picks up. I'm like, all right. I might have to go back in. But I'm just kind of hesitant because it let me down. I wanted to like it more than I did. But
all right, then.
Especially if it's the last, right? So, but yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go back in at some point. I'm currently watching X-Men 97 on Disney+. So that's taking up my
Don't say
time.
Nothing on that. That is something I am I'm looking to watch.
Oh, you haven't even checked it out yet. Okay, all right. Well, I won't say anything, but yeah.
Well, you know what it is I was going to watch the whole entire X-Men animated series again. I started. I am currently in, I think, season 3. But it's one of those series in which, like, the first two seasons have, like, 12 or 13 episodes. And then
three, four, and five
go into that 20-plus fucking episode range. And that kind of turned me off. I was like, fuck, man. Like, I was kind of digging the short season. Just give me the fucking shortened tales. But then I was just figuring, you know what? I kind of know where that series ends anyway. I remember when it happened, so I might just kick right into 97 just to finally watch it. I need something because House of the Dragon is ending this week. So,
yeah, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with X-Men 97. Like, it's meeting all my expectations. It's still got the same beats as the original X-Men series, and even better because now it's like, okay, we know adults are watching this now, so we could be a little bit grittier. We could be a little bit darker, a little sexier. So, yeah, let's get into it. But, yeah, no, it's great. So, just let me know when you check it out. I'm watching that right now, and I'm watching What If. I'm also getting that on Disney Plus. So I'm watching What If now, the latest season. What If so fucking good. Never disappointed when I see an episode of What If. So yeah, I'm watching all sorts of shit in between, you know, the movies we talk about in the show, and I'm also watching Psych now again, doing a rewatch of that show from USA back in the day. That's like my come home show. Love Psych, James Rodet, Duay Hill. So that's my, like, you know what? I'm home, gonna kick my shoes off. I got an hour. I'm just gonna put on an episode of Psych. And, you know, enjoy it, you know. And then I go into X-Men 97 and What If. But all right, Dean, moving on. What else are we talking about horror news?
So, making his name in the realm of dramatic films, Lee Daniels, most known for Precious and The Butler, is entering the world of horror. And he has an exorcism movie coming out called The Deliverance. This will hit theaters on August 16th, and then 2 weeks later, on August 30th, it will hit Netflix. It stars Andre Day, Glenn Close, and Omar Epps, and apparently is inspired by a true story. Filmmaker known for his dramatic features is taking his turn in the world of horror with The Deliverance. The Deliverance.
That's kind of, I'll have to check that out. And you know, well, we've taken a couple weeks off, so we haven't really been able to update you guys on anything we've been watching. But aside from Deadpool and Wolverine, I saw The Exorcism with Russell Crowe and also Maxine. Two fucking good movies. The Exorcism with Russell Crowe was really fucking good. It's not like The Pope's Exorcist. It's a bit different, but it's really good. Got a film crew filming an exorcism movie and becomes true. And then, of course, Maxine, the ending of the X trilogy. A lot of fun, but at the same time, I still think X is the best of the three. But still, a great movie. Definitely 85 Coke fucking neon stained, you know, film.
Yeah, haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun, but I think X is like the one. Like that's the best of the trilogy.
I still haven't watched
Pearl. Maxine was still good. Oh, you haven't seen Pearl yet?
No,
neither have I.
Meaning to, and I just don't get to it.
Same.
Me
too.
Pearl is like the weakest. Like Pearl, like you could skip that. It's the weakest. I saw it in theaters and I was kind of disappointed. Like it's a prequel to X and it just takes a lot of time to get to the good shit, you know? And I always tell people, like, if you want to watch Pearl, you can watch it just to kind of see where Pearl came from, but just get ready for a long fucking movie until anything kind of interesting happens. Like, it's really just a lot.
And for me, I'm currently halfway through Frozen Empire, which I'll finish after the show this evening, but so far I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. Frozen Empire had a lot of missteps. Like, I even admit that as
well,
a Ghostbusters fan.
Let's not forget, I haven't finished it yet.
He hasn't finished the movie.
I'm halfway through. But so far I'm not feeling super excited about finishing it tonight, but I will finish it tonight.
Well, because Ghoul and I had a lot of thoughts on Frozen Empire when it first came out, and I want to see if you kind of feel the same way. So we'll reconvene once you watch it, and then maybe next week or the week after you can let us know what your thoughts were, and we'll reconvene and see if you have the same idea that the Ghoul and I had, because I think that he and I were cooking on a fucking idea that would have worked out really fucking well that they kind of missed out on.
Do you mean the Ghoul?
Yes.
Reconvene.
Yeah, no, Ghoul and Andy, sorry. You have seen us again. But anyway, all right, so moving on, what else are we talking about?
So back in 1981, there was a slasher film called Madman.
Oh, so fucking good. I love Madman. We covered it on the show.
Written
Madman
and directed by Joe Giannone. What's that? Joe Giannone, and starring Carl Friedman and Paul Ehlers and more.
Yes,
but this slasher will be getting a novelization from Vinegar Syndrome. and author Matt Serafini. This is, and this news is of like 3 weeks ago, but it's a limited edition hardcover only novelization. It's going to be 156 pages. It is $49.99. It's limited to only 500 copies. And back when I took these notes a few weeks ago, there were only 232 copies left. If you feel like a novelization of Madman is something that you're going to want to have, you should probably, run, don't walk to the novelization page on the Vinegar Syndrome website and see if it's not too late to secure your copy. I'm pulling it up right now, and it seems that since I took these notes, only a few copies have sold, as there are now 213 of the 500 left in stock.
Yeah, good call. If you're a fan of that movie like I am, run, don't walk. Get that copy.
Yes.
But I always sleep on these novelizations, and I feel always so bad afterwards, because they released My Bloody Valentine, the novelization, Happy Birthday to Me novelization, now Madman, and I love books, and I love adding my collection, but I have more room, and I need money.
Yes.
Money's a problem, so yeah, that's why I usually skip out on those. Got to tighten up the budget a little bit, but yeah, if I had the money, definitely getting those. So if you're a fan of books and reading like I am, like we are on the show, we all love reading, so you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking A.
So, yes. So anyway, I'm not that familiar with Madman from 1981, so I'll be skipping this personally, but for those of you out there,
I don't know if you're what Madman covered it.
It does not sound, it doesn't sound familiar, but who knows?
I don't remember. It's, maybe it was you and Monkey.
No, you were definitely on that episode because you weren't crazy about it. I remember that. I was a fanboy of that episode, and you're like, I was like, it's fucking movie rules. You got Galen Ross from Dawn of the Dead. You got Paul Ehlers playing Madman Mars. You got a kick-ass theme song.
I remember that name now, Madman Mars.
It all comes together. Come out, Madman Mars. Yeah, it's underrated. If I can say so, it's very underrated. But it's a weird one because they're having like summer camp in the fall for some reason. Never made any sense, but locations, timing. It was during the slasher boom of the late 80s. But, all right. So what else are we talking about, Dean?
So Godzilla Minus One has been or was tearing up the views on Netflix, and people have been really excited about Godzilla Minus One, and Netflix is happy to announce that actually tomorrow on August 1st, they will be releasing Godzilla Minus Color, the black and white version of Godzilla Minus One. And it's also been announced, and there's no official date, but sometime in September, there will be an official 4K release, because at this, previous to this, apparently there were no tangible additions for this film, but there's going to be the 4K release, and, if you wanted to see this in black and white, it will hit Netflix tomorrow.
There you go. Add that to your collection.
I have not purchased it at all because it's on Netflix, so I haven't needed to. I saw physical media. It's okay. Right now the problem is the digital edition that got released on the Xbox, it did not have English subtitles with it. So it was just the movie in Japanese. So that was a big issue for a while. The Netflix version of the movie does have the subtitles. Then they did release on Xbox the Minus Color version, that does now have subtitles and says that it does. The regular version still does not say so. But again, I saw the movie in theaters multiple times and without color, you know, and the minus color edition. I love the movie, so I'll wait till that 4K version comes out, and I might actually get it.
Yeah, I would assume that you would. I mean, that's awesome that they're releasing those cuts. But the fact that you can watch it on Netflix is even better, because if you don't want that thing, you know, in your home, physical media, you can just watch it on streaming.
Considering you're fucking paying whatever $20 a month now for fucking Netflix, they better have some shit on there that I want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so, but I mean, you know, I haven't gone on Netflix in a while. Like a year ago, I think I went on Netflix. So, just you know, I'm always so busy on like Shudder because I pay for that, and I'm on Amazon Prime. I watch Tubi a lot. Like I don't really miss a lot of time. The only reason I'm watching like Hulu shows and Disney Plus because that's what Audrey has, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, it's something I don't have to pay for, and yeah, I'll check it out. I'll watch some Disney Plus, you know. But the stuff that I pay for, it's like, yeah, no, like I pay just the bare minimum for things. But it seems like that's the way everything's going is streaming. So I guess I should get on the bandwagon with that. But all right, Dean, unless we're talking about car news.
The series Reginald the Vampire has been canceled after two seasons.
Good.
And also in that kind of sci-fi USA.
I don't know. The overweight Asian man who becomes a vampire. He's like, but I'm an overweight Asian man. How am I supposed to be a vampire? And they're like, ha! Like, yeah, that's literally the entire fucking series. Asian guy's overweight, you know.
Oh no, it was Ned from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Is that who that was? Oh man.
Yeah.
I did not even know that. I remember watching the first season, and he's just like, "Oh, I'm an unattractive guy. I can't be a vampire." And they're like, "Yes, you can." He's like, "Okay." That was like the whole fucking scene. I'm like, "This show sucks." I was like, "It's terrible." Like, I'm so glad it was canceled. I was like, I don't know who's watching this. Yeah, so not disappointed. I mean, I'm sure it has its fans, but man, I just was not one of them. It wasn't good. Vampires are kind of over.
Fucking Interview was great.
Yeah, that's another one I have to get into. I know you recommended it pretty highly, and I have to get into that one, but. I know Reginald the Vampire was not very good. It just, you know, it's okay, I guess, if you want to make vampires funny, but just do it in a way where it's actually funny. Where I'm just sitting there at the ghoul watching one of my picks, just my arms folded and just sighing the entire time. Just not a good sign of a good show. But all right, Dean, what else are we talking about?
Also, in that kind of sci-fi network/USA universe, their series, the sci-fi series, Resident Alien, which has had three seasons on Sci-Fi, is moving over to USA for a fourth season. Hmm. Also, in
that's
the,
with Alan Tudyk, right?
Alan Tudyk, yeah, from Tucker and Dale.
Firefly.
Yes, and Firefly. Yes.
And
Leap on the Wind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the also in that, you know, sci-fi USA world, there still has been no decision about whether or not there is going to be a fourth season of Chucky. It's still up in the air. We don't know what they're doing with that yet. And also in the world of series, but this one over at Netflix, the Terminator Zero anime series, which is starring Timothy Olyphant and Rosario Dawson, has been given its 8-episode release date of August 29th, and that ties it in to Judgment Day, because Judgment Day was August 29th, 1997. So if people have been looking forward to this Terminator anime series, it hits eight episodes on August 20th. Mm-hmm.
Just give us the sequel to Genesis.
My God, I wish, man. We're never going to get it. We're never going to get that sequel. It was such a good movie. Like, yeah, I know. I mean, Ghoul, you and I have been fucking chanting sequel to Genesis for I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, team, moving on. What else are we talking about?
Actor Andrew, excuse me, actor Andrew Bryniarski, who was
Leatherface.
Bryniarski, yes, he played Leatherface, but he also played Latimer in The Program.
In The Program, I was just about to say, that's fucking Latimer, dude.
Latimer from The Program. He was also in Street Fighter. He was also in Any Given Sunday. Apparently, he had
Fighter
fallen
fucking,
on...
what's his name? The fucking Russian fella.
Right. So he apparently has fallen on some hard times and has started a GoFundMe. He said that he was the victim of the wildfires around where he lived and once the fire was raging, many of his belongings were stolen. Then his motorcycle engine blew out, which has made it hard for him to get to work. And he also has needed three different surgeries. And with minimal income right now, he is fallen on hard times and has set up a GoFundMe to try and get some help.
His coach got to look at his eyes, man. Coach got to look at his eyes.
That's got to take a look. Unfortunately, coach passed away. So, but anyway, he had set his GoFundMe. I'm actually trying to pull up some data right now. And back when I took these notes a couple of weeks ago, he had set his GoFundMe at $25,000. And when I took these notes, he had only raised $1,781. And it's not going that great, as I just took a look right now, and it's only up to $2,091. So he says his future is uncertain, and, he's got a lot going on, and he's just asking for a little help if anybody could spare a couple of bucks. But anyway, I thought I would share that out there.
Yeah, it's sad that that happened to him, and I hope that he makes the money that he needs, but I fucking don't like him at all, because back when Gunnar Hansen passed away, he was saying boo-hoo and suck his dead nuts. I don't really care for Andrew Bryniarski. So, yeah, he sucked his leather face. And then he had very disgusting comments to make about Gunnar when he passed away. So as much as I don't like to see anybody suffer at the same time, don't really care for Mr. Bryniarski too much, especially when you have uncomfortable things to say about somebody that meant a lot to the horror community. But moving forward, what else are we talking about?
So in news that will make the king happy, because this is one of his favorite offshoot genres, release date of October 25th, you'll be able to catch Melissa Barrera, in her new horror rom-com musical called Your Monster.
I actually can't wait for that.
This is a horror rom-com musical.
Yeah.
And, we know how the king loves musicals, and you'll get a chance to see this on October 25th.
I did not know it was a musical. Wow, thank you. You saved me the ticket price. I just thought it was a horror movie, because I like Melissa Barrera. Wow. But now that I know it's a musical, nope, checking out.
I know that, all the rage that I saw in the news this morning on Fox was, Melissa Barrera, not Melissa Barrera, Neve Campbell coming back to Scream.
That's been announced for a while, hasn't it?
I know that.
It was announced
on Fox this morning.
This is just a new thing. The new wrinkle to
it
is that We've known for some time that Neve Campbell had officially confirmed her return to the franchise. The news that I saw today, and this is, I had to flip forward a few pages to my news that I took today, is that it's also been revealed that while, of course, Neve Campbell is returning to once again step into the shoes of Sidney Prescott, that Scream 7, like Sidney Prescott is going to be the main character. Like she's not just going to be making an appearance or be like a background character. The story is going to center around the character of Sidney Prescott. So it's like the main role in the film. And that's the news that I've seen.
Heart. That really breaks my heart.
She was a supporting player in the 2022 film in a supporting role, but apparently this time, she's going to be the lead role. And filming for this Scream film is anticipated to start in December of this year.
Well, I just hope for a good one. That kind of breaks my heart, though, that she's going to be the main focus again. Like, we just need to move away from these characters.
Why does it break your heart, King? Why does it break your heart?
Because we just need to move away from these characters. Like, it's over. It's over. Like, you killed Dewey.
Then, what you're saying then is that the franchise should be over.
Yes, I've been saying this for the longest time. Scream should have ended a long time ago.
I've been saying it for a while.
It's been on
the
show.
Scream movies. The Scream,
after
this,
part two,
I
checked
had a,
out.
A tattoo. This King has a tattoo of Ghostface on his arm.
No, I have a tattoo of Dewey on my arm, not Ghostface.
I'm just kidding, King.
It's not on his arm, it's on his ass.
It's right on my dick, because it's that big. Whoa. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. I think Scream should have ended a long time ago. I kind of checked that after part two. But people keep coming back to it, and it's like, wow, the last one didn't do so well. So, hey, Neve, if we give you a bunch of money, will you come back? Sure. Okay. There's no gas left in that tank to make another Sidney Prescott movie. Like, it's just not. Like, it's just, the story's been done. And they already talked about bringing back Patrick Dempsey to play Kincaid, her husband now.
Yeah, I've talked about that.
I know, and it's like, well, that's kind of stupid, too. Like, it's just, I don't know, the whole thing's stupid. Like, that last movie was so fucking funny. Like, I couldn't stop laughing the entire movie. Like, I'm literally in a screen movie laughing because this stuff's dumb now. It's just, nobody can die. Like, it's everybody fucking gets stabbed a billion times, and you're like, no, I'm all right. I'm going to the hospital. What? No.
No.
These fucking screen movies. But anyway, Dean, what else are we talking about today?
So, director, Buzzy director Osgood Perkins, who recently made Long Legs, I haven't seen it yet either. And I'm looking forward to getting the chance because it's one of these rare, it's one of these rare occurrences that, like, I have heard so much about it. But I don't have the faintest fucking clue at all in any way, shape, or form, like what it's about, what it has to do with. I haven't seen any trailers. I know nothing about storyline. I just know that Nicolas Cage is in it. But other than that, I know absolutely nothing. And I want it to stay that way when I get the chance to see it. I just pulled up to see if it was streaming anywhere yet, and it's not. I know it's out there in the world. But anyway... Osgood Perkins is also directing. I know I recently talked about this was this movie was happening, not realizing that Osgood Perkins was involved, but Osgood Perkins will be directing with James Wan producing The Monkey from the Stephen King short story. And
The Monkey's Paw.
What? Yeah, no, The Monkey. It's called The Monkey.
Okay.
Production wrap. The production wrapped back in February 21st of this year, and while doing press for Long Legs, Osgood Perkins said that in regards to The Monkey, he said that he made it deliberately comedic. And when talking to The Hollywood Reporter, He said that he really worked hard to give it the feeling of one of those old John Landis slash Joe Dante slash Robert Zemeckis films, and that he really tried to make it what he's calling an absurdist comedy about death.
Yeah, I really like Osgood Perkins as a director. Like, I loved Black Coat's Daughter. I thought that was a great fucking movie. Gretel and Hansel was really good. Great take on that fairy tale. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing Long Legs when I get a chance to it. And The Monkey as well. Just he's doing great work. I'm just so glad that nobody's been like, hey, let's remake Psycho again. Have Osgood Perkins play Norman Bates. Like, thank God nobody said that. I'm just so glad.
Right.
Because I was always worried that at some point some studio would be like, you know what, let's reboot Psycho again. You know, Anthony Perkins' son's still alive. Let's have him play Norman Bates. No, thank God they didn't. Like, this is a bad choice. But, so, because he was an actor. Osgood has acted in a couple of movies.
Yeah, he was in Legally Blonde. He played the classmate that was like kind of like a dorky, nerdy kind of classmate. In Legally Blonde. That's the only thing I think I know him from acting.
Yeah, that's the major thing that he was in. He's done a couple side projects, but he does look striking like Anthony Perkins. So that's why I was always glad that nobody ever decided to reboot Psycho.
Yeah, you know, interesting. I feel, when I think about Psycho, though, and granted, you know, there are four films in the story. You know, I also think of it kind of the same way I feel about, say, the original Exorcist and its three films, you know, in the story. I feel like it's not necessarily a franchise. I think it might be one of the reasons why the Exorcist, you know, sequel that came last year failed, is that, like, I just don't think of these as the kind of franchises that have legs or that have kind of, you know, filtered down to younger audiences the way, you know, the way that some of the big ones have, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, Psycho should have been a one-off. Like, that should have been a one-off 1960 film and then stayed that way. But, of course, sequelitis and slashers in the 80s, you know, they wanted to bring it back. And luckily, with Psycho 2, at least you had Tom Holland writing the script, and he's a great script writer. And then Richard Franklin directing, a British director who's done a ton of shit. It was a decent film, but then you have part three, which is a throwaway, and the only reason it exists is because Anthony Perkins wanted to direct it. And then you had part four, the TV movie by Mick Garris, and that was only because Anthony Perkins was dying. He wanted
right,
to go out playing
say,
the character
you know,
he was
I, and I agree, and but I see, I have to say, is that I really, really like Psycho 4, the beginning, like a lot.
It's
and
good.
I've seen it
yeah,
many
I
times.
Agree with you.
I like it for
yeah,
a made for TV, and, you know, and not just it was just made for TV. It was made for cable, like it was made for Showtime.
Right. Yeah.
That you know, I really like it. I thought Slasher 4 was good. The way it went back to, with it, it had Henry Thomas playing the young Norman Bates, Olivia Hussey playing his mom. I liked mm-hmm. how it went back and gave us a little bit of origin story in a time when, like, movies weren't necessarily doing, like, origin stories, you know? Like,
right.
And also, like, when it came out, I was also, like 13 or 14, where, like, you know...
The right age.
You know, if I watched this movie now for the very first time, I might be like, this is, like, a made-for-TV piece of crap. But, like, I was still at an age where this shit had that kind of impact on me. And, you know, I always really liked Psycho 4.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. You know, I mean, if you're going to go out on that, you know, with Anthony Perkins, it's a good way to go out. It's a good way to explain the Norman Bates story. A lot of great cameos in that movie, especially John Landis playing the radio producer that's, you know, keeping
yeah.
Norman on the phone. It's decent. But it's one of those, like you said, Dean, Psycho is a movie where it doesn't need a franchise. Like it could have easily just ended with the first one, and they could have never gone back. But we say that a lot with movies, though. Like we said
sure.
that about Halloween. We said that about Scream. Like, the first one is the one. And if you never go back to it, it's okay. Like, you don't have to go back. Like, you know, just stay on the course and then have the one. We've said that about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, there's so many of these franchises that have so many movies where it's like, just, you know,
yeah.
you have the first one, and if you never want to go back and watch another one, it's okay. Like, the first one's there. That's why I love these movies. But all right, so is that it for you, Dean,
anyway.
The horror news?
No, I have a couple of other things.
Okay.
You know, to get to here, and I'll try to go quick here. VHS series will
yes, I love
continue
the series.
With VHS
mm-hmm.
Beyond. Will feature five different segments from Justin Long, Mike Flanagan, Kate Siegel, and others. The actor Justin Long will be directing one of the segments. Future segments. There's going to be six. There's going to be, I believe, six tales in this one, and it's going to, of course, hit Shudder on October 4th. But yeah, Justin Long, Mike Flanagan,
nice.
Kate Siegel, and others. But yes, the actor, Justin Long. And let's see what else we have here. Netflix today, 5 episodes, volume 4 of Netflix's Unsolved Mysteries is available on Netflix as of today, July 31st. So anyone who's been watching Netflix's Unsolved Mysteries, volume 4 is now here. Simon Pegg, we talked about him just a little while ago when it came to his character in The Boys, but he said that he would be incensed if there was ever a Shaun of the Dead reboot. It's nothing that he would ever, of course, be involved in. But of course he doesn't have anything to do with the rights, and a studio can ultimately decide to do whatever they want with it. He said that over the years, of course, there's always been talk of a sequel or a reboot. And he said it was an exciting and fun movie to be involved with, but he said that he has moved on to other things, and he would feel really bummed if people were just using the title recognition, and that he is a fan of sequels in general, but just not for Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, just needs to be left alone. And I know that he and Edgar Wright and Nick Frost are talking about getting together again to do one more project. In the Cornetto series. So stay tuned for that, folks. But all right, Dean, go ahead.
So Stephen King's The Long Walk finally is currently filming. I feel like I talked about this happening like years ago, being directed by Francis Lawrence, and will be starring Cooper Hoffman, who was in Licorice Pizza, and David Johnson, who will be seen in the upcoming Alien Romulus. Right now it's filming in rural locations throughout the province of Manitoba in Canada. And that is what's going on with
America.
The Long Walk. And let's see, what else do we have here? The Terror, the Dan Simmons novel that was turned into a TV series on AMC several years back. Then turned into an anthology series with its second season, which featured a specter haunting prisoners in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. And now, 5 years later, AMC has announced a third season of The Terror called Devil in Silver, based on a novel by Victor Lavelle, which will follow a working class man with bad luck and bad temper who finds himself wrongly committed to a psychiatric hospital. It's currently filming around New Jersey and New York, and different than the first two seasons, this third season of The Terror will feature 6 episodes versus 10 episodes.
All right.
You watch that first season of The Terror, right, team?
No, I did not, and I always meant to, because I really loved the book, but I just never got around to watching it.
Yeah, I remember watching
Maybe I'll add that to my
couple
list.
Of,
I remember watching the first couple of episodes, and it moved like I guess it wasn't what I was expecting it to be, because it seemed like it was moving a little bit slower, and I don't remember if I ever finished it or not.
I did. I watched both seasons. Great.
Yeah, nice.
Highly recommend it. So, yeah, especially second season. Second season was great, but all right, Dean.
Yes, the What We Do in the Shadows, the season upcoming season 6 on FX and Hulu is going to be the final season. We'll be debuting on October 21st with the Ghouls' favorite strategy. They're going to release the first 3 episodes, and then each week there will be a release of the rest of the 11 episodes, and it will be airing 10 p.m. Eastern time. On FX in Hulu. So What We Do in the Shadows, the final season, season 6. It already happened, because this is old news, but I had previously talked about this new company that was forming, Friday the 13th, Inc., and how they were going to be getting involved in merchandise and whatnot. So they were just... to San Diego Comic-Con, the Friday the 13th Incorporated brought new merchandise to the San Diego Comic-Con, which took place from July 25th to the 28th. They had 2 different Jason Universe t-shirts and 1 pin. The shirts were $27.99. The pin was free. One shirt was just a Jason mask, and the other one said Jason, and then where the O would be, that was a hockey mask, and then their pin was just the hockey mask face. So that's their exciting merchandise launch that just took place. And then, let's see, John Carpenter has called bullshit on
bullshit.
A lot of internet chatter going around of how there is an alternate cut of Halloween 1978 that features Michael Myers dying. The social media accounts of the Hollywood Horror Museum have claimed the existence and that there was a storage bin that was filled with outtakes and film and other stuff that had bought at auction, and that there is 95% different footage of the original Halloween, and that they have it, but they can't release it because while they own the tangible film, they don't own the intellectual property on it, and they have not, according to the Hollywood Horror Museum, they have not been able to strike a deal with anyone involved to be able to release it. But John Carpenter is claiming that all of this is bullshit, that there is no alternate cut of 1978's Halloween featuring Michael Myers dying. He says it's bullshit that it doesn't exist. So who knows what is happening there. King, have you heard anything about this?
Well, I have. Yeah, I mean, it's been said over the years that they found reels, like in an attic somewhere, of like outtakes and things like that from Halloween, and they were going to put it like in a box set and things like that. And Carpenter has said for so many years, that's bullshit. He's like, what you have seen is the movie. Like, if there was anything that I could possibly release and make money off of, I would release it. He's like, I would have no problem releasing it because it makes me money. So whenever somebody comes out and says shit like that, he's like, no, bullshit. Show me the footage. Show me the reels. Like, it doesn't exist.
Bullshit.
He's like, there's no footage of Michael Myers dying. There's no footage of him running away. Like some people have said over the years, oh, no, there's a reel out there that shows Michael Myers running away from the house at the end. No, it doesn't exist. Believe me, if Carpenter could make money off of it, he would be fucking putting it out there. Like, it just doesn't exist.
So we'll see what happens as this, as from this story claims that they have it in hand. So who knows what will happen. And then just a couple of last things. The I Know What You Did Last Summer sequel that is coming next summer, July 18th, with the anticipated return of Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. The
greatest actor ever.
What's that? Jennifer Caton Robinson says that while there has been this whole run of horror movies that have come out that have been direct sequels to the original films, cutting out everything in the middle, she says that in this particular film, that's not the case, that I Still Know What You Did Last Summer is still to be considered canon and will be part of the Julie and Ray's backstory when it comes to the upcoming sequel. So I Still Know What You Did Last Summer considered canon in that universe.
Interesting.
And then, yes, and then the last thing I have here, you know, recent horror movie with a lot of buzz in violent nature that recently came out, pulled in $4.5 million at the box office. I could not determine or find out what the budget was, but apparently people were happy enough with its performance that a sequel is already in development, and that while In a Violent Nature is available for rental purchases online, it will be hitting Shudder on September 13th. And then, and then the final
you
thing.
You know me, I saw it in the theater. I heard about
I did too.
People, and I'm, you know, I me and you both spoke about it. I think that, you know, it's one of those films that has potential, but, you know, you definitely saw the amateur vibes.
The budgetary limitations?
I wouldn't call it budgetary at all. What I would call it is a director who just wasn't sure what to do. You know?
Yeah,
like
he just
had
no direction.
You know, all of the legacy, the parentage was there. It's just it got... again, you'll see it when it's on Shudder, Dean. Maybe we'll even cover it for the show. It's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, I'll see it. I'll see it when it hits Shudder.
Indeed.
And then as far as, you know, truly news coming out of Comic-Con this past weekend is that apparently Cocaine Bear 2 is in active development with Elizabeth Banks expected to return to produce and direct.
That's announced at Comic-Con.
Wow. A weird announcement at Comic-Con.
I know the big news out of Comic-Con was indeed Robert Downey Jr. coming in. He's got a different mask, but the same task. He is our Doctor Doom.
Victor Von Doom for Doomsday and Secret Wars. So, yeah, going from the hero to the villain. Just like that quote from The Dark Knight, you either live long enough to be the hero or you live long enough to be the villain, whatever the fuck it was. Something like that. I don't know. I forget. I'm tired.
I hear you. The king is tired.
But
the king is tired. The news wrapped up.
Because we got a half hour left, and we're not going to be able to fit this whole movie in a half hour.
I mean, really, is it that big a deal?
I mean, I could speed run it. But yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
To talk about your film, Pitbull. Are you offended by this?
No, I mean, you know, again, unfortunately, this is a movie that I watched like 4 weeks ago, whenever the original episode was planned. And whoever's like rubbing the microphone against their pussy, if you could please stop.
That's weird. Yeah, I hear it too.
But you know, it's one of those where I never went back to. To watch it a second time. I probably should have. I have vague memories of this film, but my brain is shot. So let's do it, though. Let us do Stop Motion.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a very, wow, what the hell? what are we doing? Anyway, so anyway, yeah, I mean, it was a movie that took me a couple of days to watch because it was so just kind of nothing. Like, there's no characters in this movie that I really care about. Situations that happen in the movie I don't really care about. It was like, I was glad it was short. I was like, at least it's only like an hour 25, so it moved pretty quick. But it's basically about a girl named Ella who is with her mother, Suzanne Blake, who is doing stop-motion films. She has arthritis, so she's trying to – wow, that's annoying. Anyway, she's trying to help Suzanne. Whoa. Okay, well, are we good?
Tribute team. Okay.
I did not. I think he figured it out. Anyway, so Suzanne's trying to work on her last film, doing stop motion, but she has arthritis. So Ella is going to help her do that. Ella's mother, Suzanne's very fucking strict. So one day when they're making the film, she has a stroke. So now Ella has to figure out what to do. She decides that she's going to rent an apartment on her own, despite her boyfriend Tom saying come live with her. She's going to do this film with Cyclops and kind of live her mother's last dream, but she encounters a young girl who's basically just fucking Tyler Durden, just calling it out now. Like, I saw it a second coming when I saw this movie. I was like, hey, she's not real. She's an imaginary girl. But she encounters her anyway, living in the same building, who asks Ella about the project. She tells her about the Cyclops, and she's like, that shit's boring. Why don't you do this story about a girl in a forest going to a cabin at night? She's like, you know what? I don't know if I like that idea, but sure, let's give it a try. So Ella builds these dolls to be in the stop-motion project, and the little girl says, no, you have to make them more realistic. Why don't you use this steak that you have on the counter, use that meat, and it's going to look more realistic. And at first, Ella's like, I don't like that idea, but then she's like, you know what? I like the idea. So she does it, and she makes this doll, makes it look realistic, and she's kind of happy with it, but not really sure. The girl continues on with this story, and she talks about the Ashman, and Ella forms a figure, but the girl's like, that's bullshit. You need something dead, and they come across a fox carcass, and Ella's like, I don't really want to do that. So the girl's like, you know what? If you don't want to use this, I'm not going to continue with the story, so you're fucked. And she's like, I'm not fucked. I can just make up my own story. And she's like, fine, fuck you, bye. But the thing is that Ella can't really come up with anything good. She's just not good at storytelling. So she eventually goes to a party hosted by Tom's sister, Polly. It's like an art house fucking thing where they just do a bunch of shit on a screen and you're like, wow, that's cool. But Ella asks Polly for a tab at LSD, hoping that this will give her some kind of good ideas and get the get the ideas flowing, as you should say. But it doesn't really happen that way. Ella has these weird visions, and she sees the girl, and the girl comes across the fox carcass again with Ella, and she says, come on, girl, good idea. So Ella decides that night that she's going to make the Ashman out of the fox carcass. And as she does this, she's like, all right, I'm ready to film. The little girl seems to be happy about this. But she starts to hear a weird banging. And she looks outside in the hallway, and she sees somebody coming up the stairs. She doesn't really know what it is, kind of confused. And then all of a sudden, she hears a pounding on her door. And she's, again, kind of scared, kind of confused. She looks through the peephole of the door, and it's the Ashman in all his gushy, weird, fleshy glory. And she passes out.
Fleshy.
Tom finds her passed out. Guys, I should let you know that I am not doing this with notes. I'm literally just going off my head. Because I could not, for the life of me, do any notes because I was like, there's nothing to this movie. It's literally just nothing. So I'm literally just going off my head. So if I miss anything, if you guys remember anything, let me know. So Tom finds her passed out on the floor of her apartment. And she's confused as to how she passed out. We also find out that she didn't take the LSD because it falls out of her pocket. So she decides, I am kind of done.
Always take the LSD. Always.
You should always take the LSD. But you know what? She didn't. The acid is still in her pocket. So she decides, you know what? I'm fucking done, and I need to leave this apartment. I need to go with my boyfriend Tom. We need to have some food. We need to have some sex. And there's no
Uncle
sex
Tom.
By the way, guys. But anyway, well, no, the Uncle Tom's better. This Tom sucks. But anyway, she goes to Tom's apartment to kind of get away from the apartment where she's making this movie to get away. But during this time, she has hallucinations. She's taking a shower, and she touches her leg, and it becomes mortician's wax, which is what she uses to make her dolls. She also has another hallucination where the little girl doll that she had made climbs on top of the bed and cuts open her leg and starts to pull stuff out of her leg. So she's like, holy shit, I'm having hallucinations here. This isn't cool, guys, not cool. But to get away from everything, Polly, Tom's sister, gives her a job at the animation studio where she works. And Ella's excited because she's like, all right, I get to animate. I get to do some work. And they're like, nah, dude, you're going to be making eyeballs for 100 of these characters that we have for this animated project. So get to work. And of course, she's upset about it, but she makes these eyeballs, makes all 100 of them. Then she decides to go take a walk around the studio, and she walks into a room and sees that Polly has plagiarized her Little Girl in the Forest film. And fucking angry as shit, she destroys the set, and they're like, whoa, what's your fucking problem? She's like, you fucking plagiarized me, bitch. Like, you know, it's sad, you know, because she created this world and Polly tried to steal it. I don't really know how. It's never explained, but for some reason, Polly found out about this project and decided to steal it. And it probably would have been made better because what I forgot to mention is that Ella's creations are fucking weird and disgusting. Like, she makes these weird fucking flesh puppet dolls that just look like they'd be better in a GWAR video.
They're fucking
than they
creepy,
would in an
man.
Actual.
They're creepy, you know, and I like the design. You know, as somebody that was a fan of, like, you know, Davy and Goliath and Gumby and all the various, you know, winter, you know, specials, you know, Rudolph and fucking Frosty and everything. Like, stop-motion animation has always been something that's fascinated me, mostly because of the creepy factor, you know, and I think they definitely, like, they got that here. You know, even the Cyclops, which, you know, very much reminded me of the ones from the movie Crow, you know, which is great because, you know, again, there's another series that, you know, the Cyclops in that film, you know, similar to this one where, you know, they made a deal and they can see their own death. And that is the problem, you know, with them. It is creepy. It's fun. It stays true to those characters. It reminds me a lot of that Sam Rockwell bit. I forget what movie that's from, but where they where he needs the fungus to make himself fly, and he sees the. If you've never seen the fucking the bit, there's a. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, okay. You
I
don't.
Do?
I'll send
like,
you the clip.
Part of me says
of it.
I know it, but yeah.
It's fucking got, hysterical.
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie, but I've seen this clip so many times online that it's fucking awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know that one. Wow. And I've seen a lot of Sam Rockwell shit, but yeah, I don't know that one. But all right. So, yeah, she destroys Polly's set. They all get upset with her, and she decides to return back to her apartment so she can finish up something with this project. Like, this is mine. I'm going to finish it. The little girl that she had met earlier, little Tyler Durden, resumes the story and stating that the Ashman touches the girl. First night, Ashman sees her. Second night, the Ashman touches her. But Ella's like, I don't really think that I want to put that in there. I think that the girl successfully escapes. And the little girl's like, well, that's not how this works. Like, that's not how the story goes. Like, you can't do that. You can't deviate from the story. And she's like, I pretty much think I can. Like, I'm making this. I think I can do that. But after this happens, the Ashman suddenly appears on the set, coming out of the ground and pursuing her. Ella, as she turns around to run, twists her leg, and you could see it kind of like, this is actually something I really appreciated about the movie, is that it was kind of like a stop-motion effect where her leg bends, and it's kind of like it's mortician's wax. So you think it's broken, but really what happens is that she gets a cut on her thigh. She wakes up in the hospital, and she's visited by her boyfriend, Tom, who suddenly becomes such a fucking dick for no apparent reason, where he's just like, oh, you think this is funny, huh? You think this is all funny? And she's like, well, your sister stole my fucking project, dick. you know? So I was kind of mad about that. So
well,
he tells
her
that.
That's where his sister heard of the project, was probably from him.
Yeah, it's possibly so. It's just that the photographs and stuff like that, I mean, how did you get all that much? But, yeah, I mean, he might have mentioned something. I mean, I think that's the problem that I have with this movie is that none of these characters are really fleshed out. Like, they're really, you know, there's really nothing to them. They're very one-dimensional. You know, I didn't really have time in this movie to feel bad for Ella at any time. I completely forgot that her mother, Suzanne, was in the hospital. Tom is so plain, and Polly is just not played up for anything. So it's just kind of like I want to be invested in these characters, but you don't give me enough time. Like you don't give me enough time to kind of develop who they are. And I think that was my problem throughout this movie is that I know they're going to go into this weird I love David Lynch third act, and it's fun, you know. But at the same time, it's like I don't know who any of these people are. I don't really care if they live or die, which is unfortunate because you want to when you see one of these movies.
You want to
see somebody live or die.
Of course, you want to have some investment within the film, and I think that definitely is this movie in a nutshell in a lot of ways. Like you want to care about the characters, you know what I mean? Like even this main character, you know, she feels very similar to the lead character in Terrifier 2. You know what I mean? Where it's almost like. Like, she's got some extra depth to her due to the relationship with her mom, but it's almost like all of that just gets wasted by this whole, like you said, this whole Tyler Durden thing that they got going on here, which is so fucking obvious from the very start of the film.
Right.
That she's like,
thank you. Yeah. She's not real. Mm-hmm. Because it's like with Tyler Durden, like, you know, and you don't see him interacting with anybody, really. You know, and it's just, his name is Robert Paulson. You know, it's just, you don't see her interacting with anybody. You don't see her with a mom. You know, it just clearly seems like this character is in her head. And it's just like, all right, well, let me just know, you know, and they do. But at the same time, when it happens, you're just kind of like, I already knew. I knew when I first saw her. She's not a real girl. But so anyway, so Tom... visits her.
The volume is very low, Dean, just so you know.
Yeah, he turned it all the way down, man. Yeah, there we go. There he is. He's back. So, yeah, she's visited by Tom, and he tells Ella that the project has gone too far and tells her that he's just going to go right over to her apartment and demolish the entire set. And Ella's like, wait. Like, I want to go with you. We'll do it together. And Tom agrees on this, and he's going to help her out. And then, for some reason, we cut to the hallway. Ella's being led down a hallway in a wheelchair. And a nurse is like, oh, Ella, I'm so sorry. And then you find out that her mom died. And I'm like, okay. oh. And then they try to have a moment where she's, like, sad about it. But I'm like, oh, are you, though? Like, your mom was something. Like, you know, it's just, again, like, you want to have some kind of feeling. But no, I was like, oh, she's dead. That kind of lumps. It kind of sucks. But eventually, Ella, we don't really know how many days have passed since that announcement of her mom's death between when she gets to go home, but she does eventually get to go back home to her apartment. Ella gets back home, and the little girl shows back up again, and she's like, all right, let's do this. Time to finish the project. Are you ready? And she's like, yeah, but, you know, come here for a second. I kind of want to look at you. And she starts stroking the little girl's hair and touching her a little bit. And then she proceeds to strangle her to death, only for the little girl to reappear behind her back and going, all right, so did we get that out of our system? I'm like, thank you. Thank you, movie. I figured it out like an hour ago, but so we're here. She's not real. And Ella starts to cry, and the little girl's like, no, that's all right. And she's like, you know what? The Ashman needs to be made into something bloodier. What do you think about that? She's like, I don't know. She's like, yeah, well, every artist has to kind of suffer for their art. So, hey, how about this? How about you go over to this chair, and I'll give you this rubber thing to bite on, and then I'll take off your bandage, and you could dig into your leg so you could take out a piece of your muscle. That's fun, right? And she's like, I guess you're right. Let's do that. So she proceeds to do that. And, again, it's a kind of a cool gore effect. when she's pulling open her leg and pulling out the muscle and just struggling the entire time to do it. I will give this movie that credit, that it was a cool moment in the movie where you could see she's totally in pain. But of course, she's interrupted by Tom and Polly. They attempt to rush her back to the hospital because she sees that she's in pain. But what does she do? She knocks Tom down the stairs, and then she kicks at Polly, punching her in the face with her foot. Polly's like, fuck you, bitch, and puts her fucking fingers into the wound on her leg. But you know what? Ella's not like that. She grabs a fire extinguisher and beats her to death before sticking a camera tripod in her throat. I'm like, all right, movie, it's way too late for this, but all right, that's kind of fun. Like, you know what? I'm enjoying the gore. At least you're kind of giving me that towards the end. And she decides to take the flesh of Tom and Polly to create life-size figures of the little girl and the Ashman. The Ashman starts to move towards the little girl, but then it changes direction towards Ella and the little girl. The little girl's like, this isn't part of the story. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So Ella runs away, and then we just have the director, Robert Morgan, going, you know what? I'm just going to do fucking, you know, Eraserhead for the last part of this movie. I like David Lynch.
Hey,
I'm going to do David Lynch. A much better movie.
I've never seen Eraserhead. I've never seen it, so
it's
one that
it's good.
Well, you know me and David Lynch, so that as it is kind of winky wonky. It's one that I always have, like, I always have the inkling I'm going to just pick it for one of our episodes, and then I'm like, but is it really a fucking horror movie? And then I'm like, kind of, not really. I don't know. One day I might, just to watch it.
Yeah, Eraserhead is kind of one of those weird ones where it's kind of like an art house movie. It's not quite horror. It's not quite sci-fi. It kind of, you know, it's David Lynch's first film. He's doing a lot of experimentation. I personally like Eraserhead a lot, and I don't think I would ever pick it for the show. Like, I think it's too much. Like, I think it's just, you know, it's a lot more visual of a movie than it is a narrative. You know, it's one of those movies where it's just like, there's not a lot to talk about. Like this movie, where there's not a lot to talk about. Like, there's not a lot going on. It's just, we'll make some cool
Eraserhead
visuals.
Eraserhead was one of those in the video store days that had one of those complete and total standout iconic covers.
Oh, yeah, the Jack Nance. The one has all the fucking things flying behind his head and his hair like 5 feet in the air. Yeah, I have a Blu-ray and a DVD of that, so yeah. I enjoy it visually. It's a great, interesting movie. You know, narratively, yeah, that's a hard movie to talk about because there's not a lot of dialogue. Like, it's a lot of walking around and seeing things and, you know. So you might want to screen that first, school, before you make it a pick for the show. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Because it's a fun visual movie, but narratively there's not a lot of story, and it's very complicated and very weird. But so is David Lynch. So the Ashman decides to attack Ella after she tries to hide. And then seemingly eats from her face, which is now made of mortician's wax. And I honestly had to rewind the scene multiple times because it's so fucking dark that I had to raise the tint and the brightness on my TV to see what the fuck was going on. I was like, what is going on? I was like, oh, okay, there we go. You know, her face turned into mortician's wax, and the Ashman from Seinfeld is now eating it. So,
Ashman.
After this happened,
I mean, badass Billy Gunn.
You know, that's Mr. Ass. That's not Ashman. That's Mr. Ass. Ashman's from that unfunny fucking show Seinfeld that everybody tells me to watch, and I've tried multiple times.
Badass Billy Gunn was the Ashman though too in the WWE.
Well,
he wasn't Mr. Ass.
No, his theme song was Ass Man, but he was Mr. Ass. He was never known as Ass Man.
Song is Ass Man, so that makes him the Ass Man.
But he was never called Ass Man. Yeah, that's a thing. You know, I mean, he was never canonically called Ass Man in WWE, even though
his theme song
was Ass
Man. What's his theme song?
I'm an Ass Man. I know what it is.
Okay.
But he was never introduced as Ass Man.
What are you talking about?
I'm an ass man. Then he's an ass man. Gene, stop rubbing it in your ass, please.
I can't hear you over the storm going outside.
No, there's no noise coming here, man. It's fucking quiet as could be here.
Yeah, but you're rubbing your balls over the mic, man.
I'm not doing anything.
Couldn't hear anything. Anyway, so Ella then enters the cabin that she had made, which is identical to the forest and cabin she made in the film, and she sees that the girl is watching footage on a TV of Ella bleeding to death on her apartment floor. She tells Ella that she loves the film. Ella smiles at her before stepping into a satin-lined box and closing the lid. The end. So, surprisingly enough, boys, we did it. We made it in under a half hour, talking about this legendary film of stop motion. Ah, man, like, I was thinking about this movie earlier, and I was like, I don't know which I liked worse, A Wounded Fawn or Stop Motion. I was like, No, I mean,
both,
you didn't know,
both,
though. That's the thing.
Both
you didn't
picks.
Know. Yeah, but you didn't,
oh,
like, either
you
one
didn't
of those,
know? Your ass
better,
call somebody.
But that's the thing, though. Like, it's forgivable because you didn't know. It's not like it's a movie where you're like, I fucking love this movie so much, and I'm going to put it on the show, and then it turns out to be fucking bad. Like, that's happened to me a number of times. Stop motion.
I wanted to see.
You never knew.
I wanted to see this in the theater. You know what I mean? Because it was one that, like,
it
I had gone
theater?
Through a period where I, no, I wanted. It was. Yeah, it was, actually.
Really?
It was, yeah, it was just, I just did not get to it, unfortunately. You know, I wanted to, but it was like when I caught it and saw it was like at one theater that was close, but it was like a 10 o'clock showing. And I was just like, man, you can't fucking like give me like a regular showtime. Like, how about like a nice like fucking 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock on a weekend, you know? Shit, I'll take a 9 a.m. on a fucking weekend. I love those early morning fucking showtimes.
Oh, I love those, man. I'm all for a before noon showtime. Then I got the rest of the day.
I can take naps.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so that was Stop Motion, directed by Robert Morgan, 2024. That was the Ghouls pick of the week. Next week, if we're all back together and Blog Talk agrees with us, I believe Dean is your film pick of the week. So do you have something we're going to be talking about next week?
I do. And you will find next week's selection on Shudder. And it's from 2017, directed by Joe Lynch, starring Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead. And this one is called
Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Yes. Oh, and Samara Weaving, too.
Yes.
That's a great pick.
Steven Yeun, Samara Weaving, and Steven Brand. It's called Mayhem.
Yeah,
very
no,
cool.
I love that movie. I'm grateful that you're picking that. Because now we get a palate cleanser. We get something fun. It's like, that's what we do now, I guess. If we pick one that kind of, you know, doesn't really hit, then we just get a palate cleanser. So, you know, that's what I love about us. You know, we always figure it out. But, all right, Dean, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight talking about Stop Motion. We'll see you back here next week for your film pick of the week, Mayhem.
Yes. How exciting. I cannot wait.
All right. So go ahead and sign yourself off.
It's been a lovely evening here as Talking Terror once again has found a way to return to the airwaves after so much trouble. And hopefully that trouble is behind us and we can continue on with another successful episode next week. Good night.
Right. Why don't you go ahead and set yourself off?
You know, stay scared, everybody. You know, it's another bad pick by me, and I'm depressed about it. So.
No, you see, you know what?
Don't be sad.
I already told you, Ghoul.
My next one will be better.
It's, yeah, but I already told you, Ghoul, it's fine. Like, you know, you don't really know. You're kind of going into it thinking that it might be interesting, and then it turns out to be it does. Like, that's how we learn. That's how we grow as horror fans. You know, we find these movies.
I'm glad that's what you're telling me. It doesn't mean that that's, you know, my own feelings on it. I'm entitled to my feelings, so let me have my pity. I'm having a pity party.
I will let
party,
you have your
okay?
pity. I'm just, I will let you have your pity party, and you can enjoy it as much as you want. I'm just saying that it's okay. Like, again, it's not one of those movies where you're like, I fucking love this movie. Then we watch it, and we're like, eh, was it right? then I could see having a pity party. But when you watch these brand new movies and you have an expectation and then it fucking fails, it's okay. You know, we watched it. We could say we watched it. It didn't live up to your expectations, and it's okay. We got through it. We got through it together. And, yeah, it happens. It happens a lot. Like, I mean, look at me. I pick movies that I love, and you guys are like, eh. And I'm like, now I feel bad. Now I'm going to go sit in the corner and, you know, just kind of question my choices.
Weird, man. I've picked some of the worst shit that we ever watched, and I never feel bad about picking my shit.
Well, I had my revenge tour last year. Just like Liv Morgan's having hers this year. I had mine last year. No, it's
so
that was 2023. No, that was 2023.
So
that was a revenge tour. She really kind of isn't. It's, I can go either way with her. Like sometimes I'm like, she's so hot. Sometimes I'm like, no, thank you. Like when she's crying, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, her crying face is really ugly. I gotta say. She does have an ugly, but it's like a, you know, she's like, she's doing it on purpose. So, like, you know, like that part kind of like goes with it. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
It's, you know.
That ass.
I mean, the ass is great. It's not as good as Ray Ripley's ass. I mean, she's got the ass of asses. Sorry, Liv.
Yeah,
like,
but
you're not going to get mommy.
She's also a man.
He's the
I don't care.
Man. The ass man. Ass
she's not Nicole. Hey, she's not Nicole Bass. I'll give her that. Like, at least we don't have that to deal with anymore. But
nobody's Nicole Bass.
Nicole Bass is a problem back in the day. Because you'd be like, oh, man, I'm so horny over Sable. Then all of a sudden Nicole Bass comes out and you're like, oh, it's gone.
See, some of the funniest shit I ever heard was Robin Quivers trying to see what the fuck was down Nicole Bass's fucking pants.
Yeah. Nothing's in the pants. So ridiculous.
She was like, I don't know what I seen. She's like, whatever it was down there was not a woman's part.
No, it was terrible. But yeah. Oh God, that was a troubling time in the world when Nicole Bass is around. But either way, guys, thank you so much for listening to this show. So glad to be back. So glad to have you guys here listening to us talk about everything in horror, everything in wrestling, everything in Marvel, and then we even fit stop motion in. So if you're looking forward to hearing us talk about stop motion, I'm sorry, but we got through it. We did. So if you thought the same way, you know what? It's fine. We all got through it together. As for me, I'm your old pal, the King of Horror, Andy G, saying thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you back here next week with the Dean's Pick of Mayhem. Hail Satan, hail yourselves,
yes.
Hail Odorous. Watch some horror movies. Keep America strong. Good night, everybody. Mwah.
Viva la France!